peace on earth.
I'm sure that that song by U2, for some of us, is very familiar, and for other of us, perhaps have not heard it before, but whether we know that song or not, the lyrics are pretty clear, right? It's a desperate cry about the lack of peace on earth that we see around us. Even though that song uses the words that the angels announced to the shepherds on that first Christmas, it almost sounds like an anti-Christmas carol, don't you think? Listen to some of those lyrics again. Jesus, in this song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat. Peace on earth? Here at every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. Peace on earth. Now that might not sound like a particularly Christmassy way to celebrate Christmas together today, you know, not exactly in the spirit of Christmas maybe, but U2 is kind of right, aren't they? It's kind of hard to celebrate and sing about peace on earth and somehow just ignore the fact that there is not a lot of peace going on around the world, particularly at the moment. You know, the war in Gaza is very much in our news every day. The war in Ukraine has been going on for nearly 2 years, even if it's not in the news as much as it used to be. And perhaps even in our own lives and in our own families, there is not the peace that we hope for, the peace, in fact, that we sing about at Christmas. We sing carols about peace on earth at Christmas time, but I suspect that perhaps we also sing that song along with you too, whether we know that song itself or not. The idea kind of sits in the back of our mind. Where is this peace that the angels sang about? Was it a false hope that they promised? As the song by U2 says, hope and history don't rhyme. Did that baby born and laid in a manger all those years ago fail to deliver on the grand promises that the angels made on the night that he was born? It's a fair question. Of course, if we're going to ask that question, then we must be willing to listen to the answer. Right? We can't demand that God come and do something. You know, why don't you come down and fix this mess that we're in? We can't ask those questions and make those demands, but then refuse to listen to the answer when God tells us what he is doing in our world. Because, of course, that's exactly what we celebrate at Christmas, right? God came down. God did come down. This is what God says he is doing. This is what God says would bring peace on earth. And so surely at Christmas, we should be prepared to listen to that. So this Christmas, I thought it might be worth digging into the angels' announcement at the first Christmas and the peace that they sang about, that we sing about in the carols, and make sure that we get our expectations right about what exactly the angels were announcing. And that's what I want to do together now for the next 15 minutes or so. So what was the message? What did the angel tell the shepherds that God was doing on that first Christmas? You can see it there in verse 11 if you've got your handouts there. The passage is printed there on the right-hand side. In verse 11, I wonder if any of the kids can help me out. What kind of person did the angel say was born that day in the town of David? Any kids want to shout out the answer for me? What kind of person was it? Oh, well done, thank you. It was a saviour. A saviour has been born. That was the message that God sent the angels to announce to the world at the first Christmas, that a saviour has been born, that God has sent a saviour into the world. We all know what a saviour is, right? Someone who saves you when you are in trouble. Maybe you've had an experience of a saviour. One of my kids this week had an experience of a saviour of a different kind. She was at the beach swimming with a friend, and they were swimming for a bit, and then her friend found herself in, wasn't a very confident swimmer, and found herself in trouble. And so my daughter swam over to help her, but she was unable to help her because she was laughing too much. Compassionate person that she is, and apparently she can't laugh and swim at the same time, and so before long they're both kind of splashing around and struggling, and then a surfer sees what's going on and paddles over and asks if they need any help, and her friend gratefully accepts and he tows her back into the beach, and my daughter managed to get back there on her own. All the while, the surfer's daughter is standing on the beach filming everything with her iPhone, because if it's not on video and uploaded on TikTok, it didn't really happen, right? But the point is, that's what a saviour does, right? Not what my daughter did, what the guy on the surfboard did. They save you when you're in trouble. And that's what the angel announced at the birth of Jesus, that he is a saviour who would save our world and us from the trouble we are in. A saviour has been born. But what kind of saviour is he? Because the kind of saviour that he is going to make a difference for the kind of peace that he brings. And so this is where we need to get our expectations right about what the angels were actually announcing on the night that Jesus was born. Because even in that announcement that the angels made, there is a hint that there might be more going on here than seems at first. There's something unexpected going on here, because the birth of Jesus was both glorious and not glorious at the same time. And that in itself should tell us to expect something unexpected. And think of how glorious this was. Take a moment with me to imagine what it must have been like for those shepherds out in the field that night. To begin with, it was just another night, listening to the bleating of the sheep, trying to keep warm around the campfire, when the night sky just explodes with light. You could hardly get a more glorious announcement. First, one angel lighting up the darkness of the countryside, then an entire army of angels singing at the top of their lungs. It'd make the fireworks on New Year's Eve seem like a kid holding a sparkler and with a Wonderboom speaker. This was a glorious announcement, a glorious moment. And it's the kind of thing that you would expect for a big announcement, an announcement of a big and important event, which is exactly what this was. The angels said that the baby who was born is the Messiah, the Lord, the forever king that God had promised and had been promising for hundreds of years. The angels' announcement to the shepherds was unbelievably glorious. But now compare that to what the angels said next and to what the shepherds found when they went to see this glorious Messiah, Lord, King that the angels had told them about. It's there in verse 12. You see what the angels said they would find? A baby wrapped in rags and lying in an animal's food trough. And that's what they found, exactly what the angels said they would. I mean, you could hardly imagine a more humble and unglorious scene, and hardly more different from the glorious and grand announcement that the angels had made. It reminds me, when one of my other daughters was first learning to drive, I took her for the first few lessons down to the lowlands. I'm just picking on my kids today, aren't I? Took her down to the lowlands for the first few lessons because there's less stuff to hit down there, and I'm glad that I did. But I don't know if you've been down there, but there's this cool little demonstration farm down there run by the university. It's got all the things you'd expect from a farm. It's got the sheep, the cows, the barns, the shed. And it's a cool little place. I like it. It's quiet and peaceful. But it's not the place you would expect to go for a grand announcement. So on New Year's Eve, when all the fireworks are going off in the city, all the media crews and the TV teams are not going to be down at the farm on the lowlands. But that's the kind of place where the shepherds found this baby Jesus. And so we've got the grand and glorious announcement that a saviour has been born, with all the brightness in the sky of the angels, alongside the humble and unglorious reality of a baby wrapped in rags and lying in an animal's food trough. And yet somehow these two go together. And this kind of clash of expectations just gives us a hint that maybe there is something more going on here than it first seems. That maybe Jesus is not the saviour that we expect. And yet he is the saviour that we need. And the Christmas story, in fact, tells us what kind of saviour that he is. Just before Jesus was born, a page before the birth of Jesus in my Bible, another baby was born. A baby who would be the, I guess you could say, the support act for Jesus. His name was John the Baptist, and his job was to get people ready for Jesus. And this is what it says about him in Luke chapter 1 and verses 76 and 77. It says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation, a saviour, through the forgiveness of their sins." That's the kind of saviour that God sent at the first Christmas, a saviour who would give us forgiveness of our sins. That's the saving that we need. See, we think that the problems in the world are an out there problem. Why doesn't God come and fix those things? And that's what the song by U2 is all about. You know, why don't you come, God, and fix those things over there? But God says that the problem is actually an in here problem, a problem in the hearts of each one of us. Not just the people over there, but you and me. A problem between us and God. That is to say that peace on earth must begin with peace with God. And it must start in the hearts of each one of us. And that's what Jesus came to do for us. To give us peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. That's the saviour that he came to be. In a moment, we're going to sing another carol, which is based on the announcement that the angels made on that first Christmas. You know, the one, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And I want you to have a listen when we do to some of the lyrics that we are going to sing. We're going to sing, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." See, peace is what happens when enemies become friends, become reconciled. And perhaps we find that hard to imagine because it hardly ever happens. Reconciliation hardly ever happens. We usually just ignore or avoid or cancel the people that we find it hard to deal with. But that's not what God does. God wants to reconcile with people who have rejected him. And that's what the baby born on the first Christmas came to do, to reconcile us to God. Peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. Now, I suggested at the beginning that the song by U2 may not be the most Christmassy way to celebrate Christmas. You know, maybe it's not really in the spirit of Christmas. But this actually takes us to exactly the spirit of Christmas. Because what is the Christmas spirit? What kind of attitude do we try to have at Christmas? To be forgiving, right? To get on with people that we might not normally get on with. To not hold against people the things that they have done against us, to let things go. That's the Christmas spirit. And the reason that's the Christmas spirit is because that's exactly what God has done for us. He forgives our sins through the Saviour that he sent on the first Christmas. He doesn't hold those things against us. And so we sing, "God and sinners reconciled." That is exactly the spirit of Christmas and that we are celebrating. And so I wonder if I could finish now with just two questions. My first question is simply, do you have this peace with God? This peace that the angels sang about. And you may not get a personal announcement written in the sky like the shepherds did, but the angel's message is for you too. you can have peace with the creator of the universe who made you. Whatever other kind of peace you might hope for in the world out there or in the relationships around you, it must start with peace with God. There is nothing more important than that. Do you have this peace? That's my first question. My second question is, if you do have this peace, do you live this peace? Peace with God is a personal thing between you and God, but surely that should make a difference in your relationships with the people around you. The forgiveness that God gives to you is a forgiveness that we can then extend to others. In fact, God tells us to do that. It's the kind of peace that means that we can get on with people who are hard to get on with, and that we cannot hold against people the things that they have done to us. And not just for one day in the year on Christmas, but even when the bonbons have all been cracked and the leftovers have all been eaten. Real peace between you and God can overflow, should overflow, into peace with the people around you. That's peace with God that really makes a difference. So before we get on with whatever else we have planned for the day, it might be exciting things or not, but I hope that this has given us a chance to remember the peace that Jesus has offered us, the peace that he came to give us, because he is the Saviour that we needed.